Book 4, Chapter 101, A Day Long Awaited. Leningrad is a city of suspense. Life, death, time, and eternity. They are futurisms. We feel unrestrained in these relations. Meditatively ferocious, we woke and watched the crows. They were displaying their emotions. They were not surrealist. Misha said, Russia is a nation of substitution and not of juxtaposition. So, does an American memorize and extemporize writings? The city was suspended. A few words. I would hear them uttered by someone 6 floors below between the dirty trees. Misha was breathing a tuneless but recognizable tune through his teeth. The coffee was complete in 3 froths. I can feel again the irritation of all saturation, human as it is to saturate. Chapter 102. The Blue Man. A blue human of freezing rain stood awaiting the train. He was no continuation, but a spasm. He then tried for a space to lay hold. An immediate answer had passed through his mind, and he had accomplished durability of view. His eyes were the palest blue, a solitude of strain, collected, consumed. He was like a thwarted cocoon. Bits of this dark blue man contained alcohol, the weight of the man painting slogans. Such men are embarking accidents. Accidents condense, a fabulous tedium, recollection without past, without basis. A blue brain on terraces of matter, a burst of cold, a blinding corridor. Chapter 103, Internal Controls. Shores, borders, and letters. A story of safety, a storm that was cold to the point of comedy and no moon on the laundry. I had asked about a shock of compromise, hours by a picture to reconcile. We are afraid of continuity, but not of conformity. A certain generalizing and even prophesying to be made. We make only an inferior acknowledgement, but a choice amounts to being called upon. Work. I could smell the books. Diesel, mint, hay. Dima told an anecdote. There's a certain prison in which the inmates hoard loose tea, and they make of it a narcotic syrup, but recently certain city workers have made another paralytic syrup, both syrups blue. I understand, I said. But it's poetics, not linguistics. The safety of delight, the sinking of coincidence, the weakness of nearly everyone who recognized each other instantly. Chapter 104. An anecdote is perceived through the density of observation. Gavronsky suffered from indifference, from a diminished sense of outrage, but Gavronskaya has set down the soup in buckets. The light suspended in the wet air loyally holds them. We don't worry, said Gavronsky. Too much in a short time, even though we don't rhyme, ever. We achieve fidelity, we engage in gluing, sucking, seizing, and fusing. Adherence is difference. We perceive and have another reason. Chronology is just another ratio. That is all merely painter's talk, said Gavronskaya, so now you will take some mother's talk. Preparation of domestic time. It is our defense against jealousy. The nationalist attacked, but not for nation. He acted with an instinct for interference. He mistook himself for love. Chapter 105. Who is happy? Description is racing, perception against serenity, yellow bracketing, pink realism. We walked through the hard yellow pockmarked door and left number 29 Nekrasova. We were in the steaming neighborhood on snow. The earth has a never-ending number, but no one has yet found fate. Design. There are increments of power, but not of cup or bed. But there are estimates that apathy will manage. Let us think of antimatter, the physicist had said. It must affect a sapphire. A sapphire is especially solid. He had lived on Nekrasova every night. Mineral vulnerability, Vitya said, is just fine feeling. Always the wind flies against the light, and the cigarette smoke is removed. Chapter 106, A Breeze on the Embankment. Every language is embanked, every speech sucked in, all our desires are synonymous. During all the outrages hung a note of some kind, and Olga's mother's sister was by the window singing. Olga was proud of the women's heels, they were a vocal apparatus through the blockade. At night the blockade would burst into pieces. The people dined on belt. We had eyes of rust and blue. We reflected our sky, the old woman said. torches snapped in our fingers. No day without seduction, and every seduction was timed and amplified. We had a great stubborn clock in the head. It was like the gossip of a hammer. But now, she said, habit and history, they seem the same. Life has no end, and they are complete, and I compare them very patiently. Chapter 107, Winter Again Called In or Out. The moon was not thinking, but the imprint of a hand was on its face, then eclipsed by a single, simple thumb, proportions of near and there, proportions which are flat but should be round. Then did you fear the KGB? I asked. They were very ridiculous, and then they became polite. And who do they call by both name and patronymic? They are now each other, face to face. The ice was whining and singing in thaw. An incident resounded for the fifth time. Insistent. Assistance. None of that was meant. The neighbor's windows, tapped by dripping glass, faced across the way. Layer by layer, warm onions surrendered. Chapter 108, An Achievement. We were so rested by winter that now only the hand can spread. The palpable linings of objects and reverse crevices are turned. A whole plot was inhaled, and no cough came of it. Continual states, independent states, and contiguous states of consciousness. One night we were talking with Dima Wall Nastya Simpered, with the deepening requirements of fortunes of consciousness. Spring and a deepening of spring, responsibilities are incurred, and instead a sense of invisibility and relaxation. Every month has a sleep hammering at something right against the head. Each alteration produces communication and disproves the little rural paths running through the wilted birches between housing blocks. Certain texts, said Dima, are characterized not only by an aesthetic but also by a scientific function. These cause an attentive reader to become conscious in a practical state. A little yellow car was circumventing the path. So much to circumvent in memory. Even clumsily we have relaxed, Dima said. Chapter 109, A Change of Season. And so, in a truly magical manner, it has come about in apparently one continuous morning that I have become the possessor of multitudes of wide-open windows and of sunlight tumbling into other minute fissures of an almost invisible brightness. Why not see in this a special meaning? Matter, substance, has become so weightless that it can't absorb damp or accumulate moisture, so the wind carries it soundlessly past the pale jade scales that float between the branches of the blossoming pine trees, and against the outstretched water in the Neva, which, however, feels nothing, reflects nothing. 4 days of warm weather have passed. Can it really be four? And for me, in defiance of the laws governing the despondent progression and movement and alternation of days, no end has broken or bound off the hour in which I returned home and stretched a white cloth over the balcony, like a tent which has been flapping in the wind ever since, for signs of heat, and soon the first tints of humidity will appear. Though the unbearably white sun now hangs immobilized in a strontium turquoise, dusky sky declining imperceptibly toward some boundary which is too speculative to allow one to differentiate anything from anything else, day from night. And night itself now, in any case, is like a candle burning in the morning, and should some 10 p.m. arrive, it will fill the room at last with the first rays of humidity, their saffron yellow seething against my pitiful tent, which offers no protection, now abruptly sobbing when the wind suddenly changes direction, until it all at once it is blown away and falls into the branches of the trees below the balcony. This reminds me of the juggler who was discovered in a church juggling fruits because he had no other language. A sense of insane optical clarity at all levels alternated with the flashing heat of his hands moving in a predatory measured pace towards some materialization that is like language, despite the intense feeling of uncertainty that touches these objects until they are no longer even necessary. Into that marvelous breach of silence, into the instantaneously growing abyss at the point of maximum stress, gushed something he called happiness. On the evening of the first day, I had a splitting headache. I spent the whole night on the balcony anticipating no end to morning or night and no end to my headache, which had turned smooth and straight like a path leading to some condition which is difficult to explain but which has nothing in common with time. The next day I took the metro and then a bus to some nearby lakes where I stumbled into an abandoned tennis court behind clusters of wood lilac yellowing amid fiery blue grain pine needles. However, there is a danger that life, being narrated, will turn into an adventure, and every adventure moves inexorably towards resolution. But how can I say that I don't like adventure? I think now of the truly startling antiquity of the sensation that this is happening. Chapter 110, Repairs to the Painter's Studio. The hues and saturation of the heat and the prisms of the cold can hardly be compared, they are, to a compulsive consciousness. Gavronsky's studio was to be seized, but old. Gavronskaya was hunting. "I've begun to stalk," she said one night, "a very clever girl on Pestelia. Particulars are always true." Gavronsky views. "Everyone recognizes the table or the corner or the window, but it's really no table, not even a real room," he said. "The girl is like an abbess in rooms in abeyance. They are awaiting a hotel there, and she attends." "Here's an occupation," Gavronskaya said to her. "A painting needs more explanation than a small gold bracelet. It was yellow at noon between a green wall and a pink one. A whole day is not an entity, no sun standing on linoleum. It is like nothing without restlessness, without regular brushes, without exaggeration." Chapter 111, Away from the Center of the Scene. I caught the new phrase flowing out in a whisper, "Sex will begin again." A bench began. What talk we took in hand, but one doesn't care what to do in a rain. One can say that sex has featureless density. It's true. But it's true, too. Sex is all feature and has no destiny. An enormous one. A dusty skin, breast hair, eyes open at the edges. We have eyes between our legs. Nothing is unblinking. Where else is your face? At such an age, the features fatten. Our mouths are not moths anymore, and our eyes are not ants. Chapter 112. Counting from One. The astonished clock bristled with yellow in the trees. "Seasons are obscure," said some man on the path, coming home in a spattered coat. He added Bridges. "It's the man with the dancing collie," Zena whispered. "My God," said Arkady. "I can't forget how the girl in the hard currency shop smiled." "It's Glasnost." It crowds our pages. It's a bell off to the left. Appalling trees to kiss. But what will put us in our coffin? Gavronsky had put the coffin in a corner. "It's part of a sequence," he explained. "It's lethargically continuing to be." Zena made a little jump on the ice in the way and skated forward in her boots. I made for the side with a handful of leaves. Chapter 113, The Baffled Corner and the Saigon Cafe. I put on my glove and took up a coffee. It is best. Groups of people, mostly strangers, averted similarly. It is very notorious. A supervisor under its chin appeared with a wet gray rag. "Granny to granny, I'll tell you," she said. "You know what's alive when it gets to its feet." "Abbreviation? Abbreviation? You see how little my feet are? Boots made of cows, crows through the windows. On the wall my father had a puppet horse," Natasha said. "Truck value, complete value, invaluable value." Invisibility had reached its limits. "My window is its own well-being," Arkady said. Chapter 114, Late at Mitya's with the Swedish Attaché. The Swedish Attaché had two parts. He was called Maximus. So, speaking of himself, he said to Olya. Then a second silence fell on the room. The angel of silence hovered over. "We need more wine," Natasha said. "Maximus, we will go west. The night hardly exists here. It's a mere smoke." A plate of bread with salt fish stood on the bed. "They are pre-Baltic lyrics," Mitya said, "against misfortune and justice." Kolya was singing in the second room. "We cannot help but Here be sober, life on earth is almost over. Red lips always open, over, over, often over. It's a boogie, Kolya said. I call it the boogie of my rest, the boogie of night. That is a weakness which I am filling with seagulls in my tea. Chapter 115, Squeaking Planks Over the Mud. Weave green and yellow mud, said the man in the spattered coat. The spring has turned to cold, even the muck is reflecting the sky. Why can't science balance the temperature? I've got nerves of steel, said the old granny to him. She was attempting to drag her dog back toward her, but the long rope had gone twice around a tree. But what's in your pocket? Maybe I'll save it yet, the other granny laughed. Andrei Vasilyevich, I knew you before my life. Well, somebody saved your life, Natalia Borisovna, and it wasn't me. A taxi came around the far building, heaved at a pothole, then turned onto the footpath and continued. The man, are you fishing for compliments, Andrei Vasilyevich, here on the banks of our swamp? Ha, he said, I'd only catch crocodiles. The big dog had made another turn around the tree. Listen to this mud. All it does is squeak. Chapter 116, Aesthetic Gratification. Arkady, I said, what in your opinion is the quintessential Russian novel? The Life of Arseniev? But we can't decide anything. A word runs across a page and the page is torn. The sun is just a balanced coin. Sincerity is secondary to expressiveness. Rusty light collects on the taxis. Pollen fills the holes in the old spider web. Reality is copied. We do it with our eyes. Things have complete impunity in my thoughts. My idea of the neighbor is harmonious smoke. My mouth emits smoke. We did not fulfill our obligations. Chapter 117, The Destinies of Observation. A Russian novel should be called The Adherent. It is obsequious, it holds, it is opportune. I'm an observer of another kind, maybe a blind kind, Ilya said, but completely faithless. If I'm a post-continualist, said Arkady, logic dictates that I be the only one. So my granny was a great pre-continualist. My grandmother could perform an amazing feat with an egg, I said. An egg, a broom, and a glass of water. In an anti-cliché, like an earthquake, to make one sentimental. Provoking healthy excitements, the egg thuds. An inert theme, searching, buying, and serving. Everything depends on actuality, Zula said. With such a phrase, one can imagine another world. Chapter 118, On Post-Continualism. Here's the same humming shake of the roof, the milky sun, threads of shadow. The weather is syntax. Thus, we can speak of a cold of poetry. But I want confirmation, something more Western than jeans. It is completely impossible to say I want a job. What does someone mean with such an expression? Horses and dogs. Sunlight simultaneously from 10 points of the compass. Inevitably, you cultivate within yourself something like blindness. Be calm, you say, but I notice it's said with a certain flexibility. Tranquility changes toward morning into a thick sapphire drop. With poetical longing, I want to transcribe the voice of the refrigerator. Thus, the phenomenon of refrigeration becomes comprehensible. Chapter 119, A Problem Posed by Interpreting Dreams. What problem was my mind attempting to solve with the dream of two pigeons injured by a cat? Philosophy depends on our having perceived a difference between empty and full. They occur in different fields of time. They provide different satisfactions. So, Alyosha said, we have an avant-garde of the expanded word and an avant-garde of the compressed word. Let me explain. But we were interrupted. Milovsky had removed his shoes and come in. His presence was so quiet that conversation stopped. Arkady and Alyosha went to the corner to smoke. The idea of in Russia was dispersed into rain. It was not a world view, but an empty moment. Different immigrations, Natasha said. I believe we have witnessed an enchanted immigration, and now we see an immigration that's completely, one could even say perfectly, disenchanted. Alleys, owls, pillows, riddles. Chapter 120, One Spring Morning. Divination by clouds must be renounced under a colorless sky. Ostap produced a small cardboard device for divining mood, a staircase, the proportions of temperaments and moods. Xena ran a rag over the table. I turned on the gas for tea. It's a blind day, Xena said. Such a sky produces vast absent-mindedness. Here, Arcady and then I produced gloom. I too, she said. The device had turned a foreboding greenish-black. Papa, it's just a human revelation, said Ostap. Such colors grow from temperatures and salt. You see? Heliotrope means passion. Chapter 121. Xena calls me her sister. We sat in the common abstraction. Hulls of two halves of a Cuban grapefruit lay on one white plate. What does it mean? Changing rice. Attachments are very distant. We were planning the information. It's maternal, and not carried further. A search. We are at an advantage. We are very relaxed with sophistication. Lifting dishes. The future, we agreed absolutely. And how could one wish back towards something in the past? Do you feel that you're feeling time? Chapter 122. We meet Rosa and Mitya in the Vyborg while nationalists clamor in the center. Modernism recognizes things, postmodernism disperses them. But I can't think wishfully. I have no sense of direction. That particular form of self-consciousness, every kind of internal speech is continuous. But this nationalist speech, it's external, Mitya said. One absolutely must have a sense of direction if one's to hate the West. And with what sense does one hate the Jews? It's a purely rhetorical question. The world was created in a void. It's the manifestation of non-existence, and creation was a non-event. In this case, the wind is perennially rebuilding tradition, and tradition consists of chaos and intensification. The weight of a place displacing the weight of its time is nationalist. Postmodernist displacement puts things in places, and what we have, and what have we truly experienced? The intensity, said Rosa, of empty places. Chapter 123, The Three-Day Silence of the Telephone. At this point, my life can be neither too short nor too long, said Lydia Yakovlevna, leaning heavily on the table. So what reality, what logic is improved when they replace a set of one-digit numbers with another of the same length? From where he was sitting, Kolya reached the pot on the stove and added water to the tea. They are doing it district by district, Alyona said. Outside, it wasn't yet dark, and past the kitchen window, blue rain mixed with yellow snow was falling. It's an old district, said Lydia, and now we have silent telephones, a traditional sentimental motif, but here, in fact, it's part of real experience. Sometimes in situations like these, thousands of worlds are speaking to themselves. From habit. But habit is a dynamic only in everyday time. The further away, the more aestheticized habits become. Bloated arms, open palms. That silence breaks the connections between me and this world, Lydia said, but speech doesn't guarantee an object. It is the image of personality, not the mechanism that sets it in motion, that's important. Chapter 124. The pity that it's so good. Balancing like a piece of paper, the window rattled in the wind. A familiar rocking tugboat stood on pockets of the hive. Arcady's bare feet rested on the radiator. There is no melody in peacefulness. It sinks in the smelly, lapping waters of deafness. It's a pity we're only half deaf, I said. Music is an exaggeration, he answered, but I was distracted. My disintegrating personality was completely relaxed. It's as pragmatic as the weather, the wind, and the watery figures it makes with its fingers in the rain. Voluptuously, it makes a blot on the page, then sketches onto it wings and a beak and releases this bird of irresponsibility to float off into the world. You Americans want to confess everything, Arcady said, but the weather was unimposed. though watching it idly sustained a moment of anguish, a swooning of the heart over connotation. It's strange to what extent we sometimes try to defend our work. Chapter 125. Everything in life is significant. Flattery? We even ask lyrical questions of ourselves, changing. The sound includes all of our contemporaries. Responses hasten. We must constantly care for our conversational health. Black eyes, blue skin. Responses halt. It's your turn to speak again. The earth fruits and the trees vegetable. Our tasks shift our panegyrics. Such is our willful life. And it's so simply erotic. Who else but the man thought the branches would be our neighbor? Chapter 126, The Doubting Man. We had found a pretext for not going out. Swarms of such pretexts are here every day to engulf us. Ellipses, memories, these and similar outcries. The gloomy daylight was condensing like steam on the windows. Outside below in the patch of forest confined to the housing block, a tattered cat howled as the cold tugged its fur. Nobody, Arkady laughs as he coughs. Coffee is a savage consolation for waking up. And tea? The same, but like a sun, its savagery is only metaphysical. The strictness of the walls of the room had been lost, withdrawn, or removed. Here, said Arkady, a letter from Chekhov. One must always suspect the beginning and end, since it's there that the writer puts his lies. Chapter 127, A Vulnerable Apparatus. I had read a law as a child where it was posted, expectoration forbidden, the scratching of my name. Such spitters were addressed by those words on a wall. The clarity creeps. Fish? Arkady asked. Out on the street in the sun, Vitya was borrowing another man's passport so that we could buy cheese. Zina had gone down into a shop across the street. No distance, no form. The humidity was rising in chapters. No time, no verse. Lack of sleep and unequal recollections of the pleasure regulate the rosy non-narrative. Everything is normal. This is to be underscored. The spitter tried. This is conscious. Chapter 128. Are banalities necessary? You may say the sentence, Mayakovsky is a man of the people, but you cannot free it. Perfection. It has every direction. Dostoevsky is a man of the people. Aretha Franklin is a man of the people. Some people are moved to know every detail of a specialty, possessed of a special kind. A different man speaks of a cosmopolitan man. Maybe Lenin, maybe nations. Buildings, lips, the worn toppling drips of popular tufts. We do not have a poetry that would combine words like bibliophile sugars, but we know such humid shifts. Chapter 129, A Mother's Worry. At the door of the room, Gavronskaya fussed. For you to go out to the West? With her wild bitterness, the mother loved maudlin pictures. She imagined herself in the part of the younger sister in a romance involving a landscape painter. She means nothing, said Gavronsky. There are four and should be two. It is neither more nor less than a mother's love and the irritability of its object. The object's preparation, the landscape's vindication, the unchanging scene with its thick, muddy field and furrows of high, sketchy grass on either side of the empty road rising from right to left in summer depicts the protest of the young. What kind of separation lies in wait? Gavronskaya asked. A rooster's promises, quoted Gavronsky. Katya came in with more toast and melted cheese. Mothers, too, leave their families, said Gavronskaya. Chapter 130. Who reads Dostoevsky? Hills, walls, calm and stained. Despite the shadows of the leaves on the window, there wasn't a spot on the floor. 50 birches were rising and falling. An adolescent, reading, doesn't look around even once. Is it some tension of age that prevents me from expending all my attention? And what is it I want now from a book? With curiosity, I watched a head moving through the grass. The sentences could not be divided. Outside, they say, let well enough alone. Inside, they say, don't stop outside. Here's an extreme situation. My figure would disappear. It is harder to breathe then. The number of sentences doubles, triples. I determined to penetrate the strange process of humble poetic longing. Love? Will? Chapter 131, The Brevity of Limbo. The baby was bound on the balcony as the sun set. Any other available baby is defective, later than its mother. And shame is followed by a miraculous recovery. It's as if any child emerged from a gold sky. Below, the surface of the Neva wriggled with the continuity of a tree. An insert pressed against her belly to give a look of pregnancy. I thought I'd been achieved and then undivided. Below in the winter light stood the white buildings. Three grannies in wool coats stood in the frost, watching their granddaughters conspiring in fur bonnets. "Our history is not limbo, but a wide erasure," said the official. "For example, my son has joined a rock band called the Freemasons, and they dance naked and play saxophones." "The angel of forgetfulness has many feathers," said a granny. "It brings the heat of summer, and it resembles waiting." Chapter 132, Something Perceived with Peripheral Vision. We paused on the palace embankment. There are always monstrous prepositions, colors, murky juxtapositions, and flux more vast than distractions, more lasting than the past in the Neva. Ducks float by, two sullen men in blue fish. I wonder why their plurals are the same as their possessives. "It's the famous Leningrad wind," Arkady said. The words bomb, drawer, towel, they tumble overnight, under your arm, between your cheeks. Diverging eternities, they resemble suspicions, but the reality surrounding us is not immediately forced into art. Nostalgia is just sprung compassion. By the way, it's never too cold for the grannies. Their life now is inordinately colloquial because they have to go somewhere. "What about that old woman arguing with herself in the kitchen?" I asked. In such a case, everyone else goes somewhere. Chapter 133, A Living Space Bursting with Delight. "Leosha," I said, "please, explain to me the two avant-garde traditions after Mandelstam and Pasternak." With no indolence, he said. "But, for example, can one say that a huge sun is a damp hole in English?" "It would be very difficult," I said. "For instance, I could not have said so before 1985. Unbirth and birth. No, pre-birth, non-birth. Petersburg. I agree. Let me put it this way. Where is the moment of the greatest consolidation, the greatest potential, the moment just preceding a burst of color, the moment guaranteeing the greatest density of color? This has something absolutely to do with courage. It was material sliding, silent, strange, quiet. Chapter 134, The Force of Conditions. A fish swam outside the human half-skull. "I really don't know how," I said, "to use that petty authority. Such as your irony, seen at a distance." Silence. Not thing, but volume. It's true of me. There are only mobile states of mind, accepted provisionally as one's own. Wet snow, convictions. There is no distribution to sustain, just an egg within an egg. Intense, voluntary patience. It's force, not form. Woolen odors, and events which are irrevocable, not to be thought of, but I fear them as much as lost opportunities. It's as if spite were the opposite of fate. Chapter 135, The Formative Properties of Words. I cannot imagine a glass prose, but I was losing interest in the phenomenology of my dreams. Daylight was thicker than it seemed, with augmentation, odor, air. Where are words changed? Kuzmin, for example, had challenged the potential bliss of transcendence with the beauty of the world. And I trust this lust, I can't know what I've missed. Shallow dreams fall, follow. They appear to words. It's the principle of connection, not that of causality, which saves us from a bad infinity. The word hunt is not the shadow of an accident. That hunger had no exotic antecedent. It's an ordinary shifting in a line forming near a shallow stairwell. That's where I waited. Chapter 136, A Bad Cough. I sat on the big couch. The rain on the window had increased the yellow size of what was outside, where I was feverish. "America is a great cure," Arkady said. "In my opinion, no. Well, of course it's natural to look back longingly at the brink of experience. A great curve. Everyone hurries to sit on it. Dark arched branches were smudged against the housing block. So we can imagine that Pushkin massaged the trunk of the tree there, a birch, its brain in white. The glass bent around the onion, and some translucence around that. Rain fell, but even the irregularity of the drips couldn't obliterate the rhythm that attaches occasion to memory. The telephone rang. America drifts. It scarcely disturbed. The senses had risen to greet another freedom. Chapter 137. Promise of a summer day, someday, in the Crimea. A flat black rock will gleam, swallowing the light out of the sea. Hairy silk and the smell of salt crossing my hand as twilight falls. The clams are pounded over coals. Declivities in the rock, abandoned by nature, occupied by man. And woman, I said. But of course, said Leosha, in the distance only height and depth, a minimal sky. We will analyze the conventional language of socks and shirts and cheese and edges and clocks. A wall of freedom, a shore. People have mistaken yearning for enthusiasm. That's flirtation, procrastination. It's fish in the dark, and we laughed at the pronunciation. Chapter 138. It's impossible to eat a chicken shot with a stick. A man in a dark coat twisted a button in increasing light, and I speak aim with precision. In his patriotism, the colonel had digressed and become inert. Now a woman with a feather in her hat was crossing a sunken path. The scene had a somber power. I'd be stung by music and on an appendage, but I'd misjudge hunger. It puts words in the mouth. The restoration of metaphysics is achieved with a variant of pointedness. Ilya stuck, and he had not been tentative about the death of the object at the strange yellow table covered by cakes. Tanya posed for a snapshot holding open a cookbook with Stalin's introduction. It's precisely this that solves the dilemma of existence established in the light of the Russian kitchen. We were sitting in a reflected room. Sometimes my body does things and I just don't notice, Vanya said. A certain side with symptoms of consciousness. Chapter 139. Drama, but no outcome. A dog with its throat cut lay at the edge of the forest. We should collaborate on such suspicious clichés. They're formed every day and make interpolations. Waiting depends on the thickness of thought, its destiny. Everything turns fortuitous. The plot stops, then description clocks thought. We wait from it. Waiting, not waiting, but sky. Everything is perpetuated. A woman with a tremor was watching us. She has recognized your celebrated foreignness, Arkady said, your past. No one wanted to be photographed. No one wanted to be kept in sight. Something would come to an end then. Chapter 140, A Sex and Shield. The phrase passive verb came to me in a constant, a sudden chill will sing to me, a vertigo. The hands really are so often cold, but the fingers turn at the back. There was that sex of response that turned back responsibility, and habit with no proof of its truthfulness. The mind is sent to the blood and blanks, in my experience. By whom I was seen, on what bench I was seated, but a bench alone from which the snow had been brushed away. The scene was utterly colorless, and my attention was devoured by it, as if it were dark. 100 feet away, a line swelled, then thinned again, and swayed. Its particular strength, its delayed volition, was suddenly toppling me. This is an immobile scene without representation, Arkady said abruptly, turning up 15 minutes early in the park outside the building where he had gone to meet a certain Grisha. I was seeing the colors from the back, the horizons at the disposal of the colors. Chapter 141, The Genders of Everyday Life. We have split for many occasions. Arkady! Ho! I disagree with you, I said. And I agree, he said. You're right. About postmodernism, a city of genres. Take a naked doll and spoon, a lifted city. A great pastiche. You're wrong. I was straightening the blanket around where I sat while Vasya turned up the tape machine. An unfinished conspiracy. Love and they are odd, a mounting context. We love the sexes of conditions we never leave. Chapter 142, The Explanation of the Dancing Tea. Flakes of falling sand slid over flashcards into the slush in the path where we were walking from the bus stop to the housing block, and I stopped to see what they said. Strawberry and wet, wet as dogs and tea. And heavy as luggage described as full of books. Do you read poetry? Limbs larger than cold, links lifted from the tang of the body. Strong, bare, and objective. These and other invalid categories are like a cat on a bed. Alexei, I said, when I was slipping off my boots, your cat is bigger than your dog. Well, perhaps so. There is a book published in English, said to be written by Shostakovich on the style of Zhoshchenko, I said. Do you read translations? I'd said such sex in detail, timing that spot of time. Our authenticities are often of detailed concern. The flow of speech is often dispersed in separate words, and I was summarizing my surprise. Here, said Paulina, the water's very good for tea. Chapter 143, The Onion Metaphor. Comparisons are frequent in language situations. Chances chosen after extra searches. Several layers out a yellow glint is a clinging purple button. Replacements don't surpass loyalty. The sea black as oyster, the speed of ant legs on water. I can't name where I don't know I sit. Happenstance closed, and we were in it. At the theater doors, a certain bulk of person guarded. The onion is absolute, said Vitya. The golden baldness holds no different brain. Art should be about decisions, Vanya said, or else choices are just chances that you steal and spoon. A regimen is not a system. Nothing was, never was. Chapter 144, Description. My description gives my face in space. My story changes it. All narration is set with change. Atheism now is an adequate description, as free as air, as independent as fire. But in an era without religion, you can't tell an infidel from a buffalo. Maybe my face was set with fate, but my narration was embraced by particular rubble. Some broken concrete, a length of pipe, a poster proclaiming memory defaced. The grannies gathered close to see excitement. They stared at my coat. You have gone to the incredible lengths of material prosperity, and far from having disappeared, you have turned up awaiting the 100th bus. But what's funny will turn out sad if you stand in front of it long enough. So it's essential to know how to sleep and at what time. The grimes scraping on reason reflected the face self-consciously. They waited, and the drama sank in later. Chapter 145, A Digression That Differs from Description. The context to the incident almost killing Gavronsky had come out. The nationalist was a certain Nikolai, not unknown to Katya. There had been some history, so why not a nightmare from this Nikolai? Kolya's knife, Sasha's line. Katya is one of many flowers in our town, Rosa said, and they all make their usual Soviet smell. It was Gavronskaya, she waited to tell. Sasha Gavronsky glowered. Speak in English, he said, so I don't understand your gossip. Well, it was your mother and Katya who solved the crime. Sasha shrugged. Quails like to snuffle in the woods, so they set out the bread and went there. Sasha remained. Suddenly, having understood, I felt at last acknowledged. Certain changes had been delayed. Chapter 146. Whose comedy was that? In real life, prophetic, if its details are typical. The unconstructed life cannot have been invented. Whose tragedy is that whose narrating eye attaches itself here and there to the matters of my own fate? Such a pantheist making mind. I embrace that particular rubble. Embracing free willism despite the constant change of detail. Yellow shadow of the white facade of a poultry shop one day, green shadow the next. Arkady pulled off a dirty sock and used my scissors to snip at it, his toenails. He held up a snippet with pathos. Where is a chicken? Held up to a sequence of days interspersed by nights, my snippet is sad. I desire disorder, war order, the invention of desire. What would tell the narrator who I am? Chapter 147. Poetry is a genre of constructed life. A true agent of culture must have a generous nature, all human with human action. a granny or grandfather from irreducible shock. The world improves the word, that is, its admissibility, and the followed world. My life must be the form of my person who lives it and likes it cold and wet. A light holds my overcast humidities to the round, a tempo, a tendency. So form is the time, and desire is still dormant in a preliminary moment prior to belief in it. Self-consciousness eludes me. Self-consciousness gets ahead with the force of my independence, not bounded by self and invention. Chapter 148, Impositions. I found myself on the sofa and caught in a mineral water bottle, the face blowing steam with lips rolled, the blotches were blanketed. I saw the turtle's head emerge only in the opposite direction. We were tangled without special need after a continual lack of redundancy, of tendency. Here is an instant of time continually endured, death in its string. We were secured, but my breast was stretched into forms of face. I'd changed positions of face, the face going under hair, and usually facing right, the silent face wanting me to describe it. I can't address the future, I'd feel too foolish. There is no act, only state that's mirror. Chapter 149, The Poem Under Number. We met Vitya von Gorkova counting against a bulge of stone. 20 years ago, just here, I encountered a great mathematician. He asked me to guess what poem was buried between the sheets of numbers in his bag, and I guessed immediately what poem lay there, what kind of separation waits. Quoting was something everyone needed. It was in time and under number. It was a ceaseless consequence. My increments, I said, are hard to memorize. Once in Moscow, I was asked to recite, and the man was antagonized. Even it is irregular. There are irregularities for all that's permitted, or I see it backward, or it has its choice of contemporary resemblance. Chapter 150, The Sphere on the Embankment. The exact novel genre, satirical or resonant, there is maybe too much non-literary evidence for it, but irritations without controversy are an inspiration for authority. We were leaning on the balustrade beside a chipped rock sphere. Xena will find slippers and we will wait. Patience is the inspiration for influence. We blanked at broken gliding ice and pink stripes on the water. Nothing but always. It's in passage. A ball in warning. Literary rolling. A woman on a bicycle with warped wheels. A woman with a birch broom. I didn't change it.